What value do trusts have in planning our future and our operations future and our family's future? We're going to talk about that today with Bridget Finke with Valley Crossing Law in the Baldwin area. And Bridget, you hear an awful lot of pluses and minuses about trusts, but how can they and should they fit into our planning for the future for our farming operation?
Trust is a nice, simple word, but it can mean a lot of different things. There are lots of different kinds of trusts that accomplish different purposes. And so usually if somebody comes in and says to me, well, I want a trust, what I'm interested in is, what are you looking to accomplish? Are you looking to avoid probate? Are you looking to maybe have assets set aside for a period of time, so that, for instance, the kids can't sell the farm right away when you pass away, or that the assets are held for younger children until they're older and able to make better decisions? Really, what is the purpose you're looking to accomplish? And then deciding if really a trust is the best tool to accomplish that.
So it sounds like it's not just you have a choice of trust A, trust B, trust C. You can kind of, I guess, formulate them to fit the situation you're in?
Exactly. And, I mean, the good and bad of estate planning is if you dream it, we can do it, typically. But it's just a matter of drafting the appropriate language, taking into consideration tax laws and legal limitations, and then, of course, when it comes to the nursing home side of things, considering those medical assistance rules and regulations.
So as far as starting this out, what's the way to start out to see if we can make a trust work versus some of the other vehicles we have to use for estate planning?
On the client side of things, I really want people to tell me, what are you looking to accomplish? What is the end destination we're trying to reach? Then decide what is the best road to get us there. There's lots of different ways I can come from Baldwin to Eau Claire to come and see you, you know, back when I got to see you.
Yeah, that was a few months ago.
Feels like it, doesn't it? But in any event, you know, all those roads might get us there. Some of them might have more construction than others, if you've been on 94 lately. And some of them may be quicker than others. And, you know, some of those routes might be pretty complicated, but all of them get us there. And so I typically say, you know, focus on where we need to get, and then we can talk through the pros and cons of those various routes to get there, because it may be that we can get there without even needing a trust.
If we do have a trust, once we put it together, how restrictive is it as far as making changes, as far as, some of the situations may change? We may, God forbid, lose a child or lose a dependent, or something may happen that the situation has changed. Are they easily upgradable, so to speak?
Depends on what flavor of trust you have. When we are using revocable trusts, those are often very flexible. If you're still alive and you're still capable, you can change the terms of those trusts just as you could change the terms of your will. However, if you have an irrevocable trust, that means they can't be changed. And, well, it can't be changed with an asterisk, because there can be ways that we can change those, but it's much more onerous, much more potential traps or problems with making those changes. And so that's why, I mean, let's say you're listening to this and you already have a trust. It is never a bad idea to have a review of that again and remind you, what does that trust do? What are the pros and cons? And does this still fit in my life and my estate? Because it's not uncommon that someone will come to me with a trust and push it across the table to me and say, well, I've got a trust, so I know I'm protected for the nursing home. And I look at it, and it's the type of trust where they haven't given up control. Those assets are still considered theirs 100%. So it's not doing anything for nursing home purposes. So sometimes, you know, we hear what we want to hear. It's a lot of information. It can be a lot of things at once. And so, you know, either if you're considering a trust as potentially your estate planning tool, asking lots of questions, run what-if scenarios, you know, just like you said, you know, what if I lose a child? What if this changes? What if that changes? To make sure you understand what kind of flexibility you have, and if on the flip side you already have one, make sure you really understand how that thing works now and how it'll work in the future for you.
If we have, why would we go to an irrevocable trust versus a revocable? What advantages do we have if it's so onerous to change an irrevocable?
It's when we're wanting to create a separation between us and the asset. So we want to get that out of our hands to count for nursing home purposes. Or we're worried the estate tax is going to really change, and that limit is going to go much lower, and so we're worried we have too many assets, we might have an estate tax, we want to get that out of our hands to count for estate purposes. When we're really looking to make that impenetrable fence between us and an asset, that's when that irrevocable trust might be appropriate.
And you've mentioned nursing homes a couple of times. We all know how expensive they can be, six figures easy for a year. How do we approach that as far as putting it in our trust so that, you know, the assets are gone and we've got the nursing home covered? That's so important.
Well, it's so important, but it's not the only consideration. And so I will say the right answer for you versus your brother versus your neighbor may all be completely different answers. There are a lot of considerations, and unfortunately it is very fact specific, you know, very much about your individual circumstance. So there's not one right way. You know, there's plenty of people that get pushed into my office because their kids tell them they have to get rid of the house. They have to get rid of the house. Well, then we review their situation, and maybe the house is the least of our worries in their circumstance. Or maybe they have plenty of cash flow between their pension and their Social Security and those kind of things that we wouldn't be worried about losing, you know, quote-unquote losing the house. So, unfortunately, it's not a thing where I can just give an easy rule of thumb sort of answer, and it's all about weighing the various risks. Because if the question is, do I want my assets to go to my kids or do I want them to pay for nursing home expenses? That's an easy answer, right?
Should be.
There's a whole lot, well, right? But there's a whole lot of circumstance in between. And there are plenty of folks who have, you know, sent assets down to kids to get them out of their hands so they wouldn't count for the nursing home, to never spend a day in a nursing home, but to have that child go through a divorce or die suddenly very young, or, you know, a variety of circumstances. And now mom and dad don't have the asset, and the child doesn't have the asset anymore either. And so it's a lot about weighing risks and what risks you are and aren't willing to live with. I think it's an area, and, you know, and I apologize, I bring it up a lot just because I get asked about it a lot. But I also think there's an area where there's a whole lot of fear and not a ton of understanding of how that whole process works.
And of course, all these things take time, whether you work with a trust or some other document. How long approximately does it take to, when you get all the answers, to put a trust together? I mean, the questions asked and the answers given.
Mm-hmm. It varies. It varies a lot between folks who walk in my office and have a really clear path of where they want to go, in which case, you know, perhaps we're start to finish within a month, and other circumstances where it's over time, and it's a lot of hard questions and a lot of weighing of things and research and investigation. You'd be surprised by how many people really don't have a good handle on where and how their assets are held. Do I have a beneficiary on that account or don't I? Who is it? When did I do that? And so, you know, there's times where it takes the better part of a year for us to complete an entire trust process. So a little bit, it depends on how close to final answers we are when we start the process.
And, of course, with farmers, there are very few times of the year where you can really sit down and take time, because right now we are in the harvest season and will be for a while, that's for sure. Bridget, good stuff again this morning, talking about trusts with Bridget Finke of the folks over at Valley Crossing Law in Baldwin. How do we get a hold of you?
Give us a call at 715-688-4045 or check us online at wisconsinfarmlaw.com.
And it's that simple with Bridget Finke with Valley Crossing Law.